if you're retaining ownership for your heifers or you're buying your replacements, depending on how it is, those, there's a lot of research over the years that's shown those heifers that are born early in the calving distribution are going to be in your herd longer. They're going to be more productive, and they're going to yield you a better economic return than those heifers that are born later in the calving season. So it's more than just that one year. I mean, what you're doing and how things are working is affecting the long-term sustainability or long-term efficiency is a little bit better term of your operation.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Mycotoxins can threaten feed and cattle performance. DSM Firmenich offers a portfolio of solutions to help mitigate the impact of mycotoxins in your feed. bioMérieux is a world leader in the field of diagnostics for more than 60 years. From pathogen detection to genomics and data applications, bioMérieux helps beef industrials going beyond the test results to help control your food safety and process risks. Virbac, committed to growth. For information, visit vet-us.verbac.com/cattle or see your Virbac representative. Be proactive with Cattle Active. Visit proearthanimalhealth.com today.
Welcome to the Beef Podcast. Today, I'm lucky to have Dr. David Bonert from Oregon State University, a colleague on the other side of the Cascades. Welcome.
Thank you, Travis. Appreciate it.
You know, you've had a long career on the eastern side of Oregon. Big cow country for Oregon. So give the audience, I know you've been on the podcast once, but just give the audience a reminder of kind of your background as a nutritionist and as the director of the Eastern Oregon Ag Research Center.
Yeah, no, I grew up in South Central Texas, Texas Hill Country. Did my undergrad and master's at a little school out there in West Texas called Angelo State in San Angelo. Did my PhD at the University of Kentucky and came out here to Oregon State in 1998, and I've been here ever since. And I've been the director here in Burns since 2004 and took on the role of both Burns and Union Stations in 2016. So that's where I've been. Grew up with cattle, beef cattle, dairy cattle, sheep and goats, and kind of enjoyed it. My whole life, very active in 4-H and FFA and try to give back. That's one of the main reasons I wanted to be at an experiment station was the outreach potential and really enjoy it, trying to help our stakeholders and work with them on a fairly regular basis.
You guys do tremendous work out there for our producers, and it's a great resource for the state. Today, we're going to talk about how to manage the calving distribution and tightening calving distribution. And, you know, especially in our situations in the Western United States and range settings, that can be a challenge. Is, you know, we're really limited due to rainfall, and rainfall drives our performance, right?
Absolutely.
And that's going to drive some of that calving distribution. And for a lot of producers, sometimes, you know, year in, year out, you know, that distribution can change. I've got a lot of late calvers this year. So how do I deal with that? How do I tighten that window next year? And that has a big economic impact on them, right? From not only pregnancy rate, but that weaning weight of that calf is going to be light.
Right. And it's most people realize it, but I don't think unless they actually see it, that impact, because it's not only those open cows, as you talked about, where if you do have a poor nutrition year or feed resources are a little low, you know, that pregnancy rate will drop back and you lose those calves. And that's an easy thing that people see. But what's not as easy to see sometimes is when that calving distribution does get extended out. When you start having more calves in the second or third cycle or fourth cycle, depending on how long you keep those bulls out, that's 21 days roughly, you know, that we're talking about. And most calves are gaining 2+ pounds a day, you know, at that time. So, you know, at current calf prices right now, when you're looking at 40 pounds per cycle, you know, and at $3 wean calf, you know, somewhere in there, that's $120 you're giving away by not getting those cows bred earlier. In that breeding season. So that's one of those. You have calves to wean. You don't think about it sometimes as much, but that's real numbers. I mean, and really isn't affecting your bottom line from the feed perspective if you could manage them to be cycling. you know, that's a lot of money. And God forbid you get into the two cycles out. Now you're talking, you know, $240 a head that you're giving up by not having that cow ready to breed early in that breeding and getting it done early in that breeding season.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, and that adds up pretty quick. You know, you talk about 120 per calf and, you know, if you go from 85% of your cows in the first 21 days to, you know, 50% of your cows, that's a large percent of decrease in performance and just economics of profitability.
Right. And it's more, it's some of the stuff that's out there. It's more than that first year. You know, if you're retaining ownership for your heifers or you're buying your replacements, depending on how it is, there's a lot of research over the years that's shown those heifers that are born early in the calving distribution are going to be in your herd longer. They're going to be more productive and they're going to yield you a better economic return than those heifers that are born later in the calving season. So it's more than just that one year. I mean, what you're doing and how things are working is affecting the long-term sustainability or long-term efficiency is a little bit better term of your operation.
Yeah, it's a very important part that, you know, distribution is just not a one-year impact. And it's a multitude of years down the road of it not only influences your bottom line that year, but, you know, your heifer longevity, cow herd longevity could be impacted and you continue down that track, right?
Right. And it's more, it's, you know, and it's, you hit on it earlier, you know, if you should have a feel for if nutrition is lower or if you're going to have some feed challenges heading into the fall, because that's affecting that next spring breed up, which is then going to be your calving distribution. You know, those cows are pretty much bred by summer, fall. Yeah, I mean, for most spring calving herds, I mean, that's predominantly what we deal with. So if you're looking at that, you can manage so that you're getting in that upward plane of nutrition heading into the calving and breeding or primarily the breeding season. That's how when you shorten it. So it's not just a 2 or 3 or 4 month window that you need to worry about. You've got to be thinking about that and managing that the whole season long.
Yeah, I think one thing I've always told producers is breeding season starts a long time before that bull gets turned out.
Absolutely, right?
And so many things we miss because we think of breeding season occurring, you know, at the time of AI or when we turn bulls out, and we've got to get those cows ready. And our management well before then will dictate that response.
Spermatogenesis is occurring 6 weeks or so before. I mean, you've got to get those bulls ready if you're going to use natural service so that they're ready to go and get your BSEs done and all that. That's all part of that process.
And that's another big topic itself. Sometimes we forget about the bulls.
For over 60 years, bioMérieux has been a world leader in diagnostics, now revolutionizing the beef and meat industry with augmented diagnostics, addressing critical challenges such as food safety risks and recalls, production costs and waste, as well as environmental and consumer concerns. bioMérieux offers a fresh approach that goes beyond test results. Their unique portfolio of microbiology testing, genomics, data solutions, and expert insights help with pathogen detection, enumeration, and root cause analyses. By providing improved risk anticipation and comprehensive data, bioMérieux empowers beef processors to confidently navigate today's complexities.
So from a management strategies, what can producers do if, you know, they suspect or even if they do have some calving distribution issues?
Sometimes it's not a one-year fix of where you're looking at that. If you've got let's say you had a 60-plus day breeding season. If it's much over 60 days, chances are you're not going to have a 365-day calving season. You're going to be beyond that just because it takes 83 days, whatever it is, for, you know, that cow would need to, after she's calved, you know, involute the uterus, get back to cycling, and get bred. She's got 83 days to do that. So if you're looking at a longer breeding season and they don't get caught in that first cycle, you're looking at over a year. So then you're extended out and it becomes a perpetuating problem potentially of when you're there. So without getting into the weeds too much from that perspective, is you have to make the decision you want to shorten it. So number one, you're going to need to shorten your breeding season. And in order to do that, there are some tools that you can do. Estrus synchronization is one of them. And we can talk a little bit about that. I think that that's really important and really critical. But also something that we've already alluded to is those cows and bulls need to be nutritionally ready to breed and setting them up. So that starts in the fall, late winter, heading into that spring period, so that you've got good protein and energy intake, minerals are good, you've got good vaccination schedule, good herd management, you know, animal husbandry that's went there on both your cows and your bulls so that they're primed and ready. That's probably the first step. And that's something that everybody should do no matter what. And then the next would be the various technologies that you can use for estrus synchronization. And when people normally hear about estrus synchronization, the first thing that pops in their head is AI. And that's true. AI is a tremendous tool, probably, in my opinion, underutilized here in the U.S. For a variety of reasons. Genetics, the calving distribution that we talked about, marketing. There's a lot of things that AI can help you with, but it doesn't preclude from using estrus synchronization either as a hybrid or with natural service itself. Those are all ways that we can shorten that calving distribution, but there are some management scenarios that you have to be aware of and challenges once you make that decision, or it's not going to work effectively.
Yeah, and I think we get stuck sometimes thinking synchronization is just for AI. And you know, a lot of producers don't have that skill set, and they may not even have the facilities to do that.
Right.
And so that they put it off the table of, I can't do this.
Right. And you know, that's, I mean, I think we've all, a lot of people in the industry have connections with some of the stud services like Select Sires, for instance, or Gen X or ABS and different ones.
Right.
If you talk with your regional rep, a lot of them will help you. Depending on what that is, they have portable breeding boxes. You can set up a Rodeer and you can set up some panels and make it work. Potentially, you need to see. I mean, depending on the scenario, how many times you got to run them through the chute, there's, I mean, the Beef Reproductive Task Force, if people aren't aware of it, which I would be surprised if many of your listeners probably don't know of it, is an excellent resource that shows for both cows and heifers the synchronization options that have been verified and that are approved or not approved necessarily, but are recommended for producers. And those are a wonderful tool. You know, you can use, you know, the co-sync procedures, you can use the prostaglandin procedures, you know, depending on the different, if it's cows or heifers, you've got different lengths of time, but those are all options and you need to be aware of the costs, and you can work with an extension specialist, you can work with a nutritionist, a consultant. Some of these stud service representatives will all help a producer make that work. And there's the Beef Reproductive Task Force has a nice economic tool that'll allow you to compare all those. And you make the call as a producer. Is this going to work for me compared to my natural service? Because, I mean, you can kind of see that. And then you can start looking at, okay, if I, the unfortunately, you, the Beef Reproductive Task Force information doesn't have it, but there are some other tools out there that will show you, what if I shift my calving distribution 20% this way? And what effect does that have? And, you know, that's a, like you mentioned earlier, and we talked about, that's a lot of money that potentially is laying on the table when you're looking at, you know, $20 or $30 semen, depending on the bull you're using, and maybe $15, $20 for synchronization. It sounds expensive, but not when you could increase your number of calves born in that first cycle, and that's $120 a calf. Pretty soon, I mean, it makes a lot of sense beyond the genetic benefits that you see and the marketing benefits that you're going to see.
And one of the large benefits of the calendar from the Beef Reproductive Task Force calendar is it'll tell you what drug and the time you should be given that drug.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you've gotten calls of producers giving the wrong drug at the wrong time.
Not all the time. It means you're messed up, right? I mean, you can talk to people and maybe there's a way you can adapt it, mm-hmm. and or leave it in a little longer, the cedar, for instance, or you have to, and maybe you're in the cycle where that didn't matter. There's potential ways around it, for sure. And you know, the other thing we haven't talked about, it does increase labor on that front end. But man, if you can get, especially with your heifers, if you could be done in 45 days versus 60 or 90, what's that worth to you?
Right.
From having to be out there. So the labor is also a consideration, I think, that needs to be put into that whole mix when you're looking at it, not just on the breeding side, but on the calving side as well.
Yeah, that's something we sometimes forget about in that equation is we think about the labor cost increase with AI and the time, but then tightens your labor costs because of that's a very short window of when you're going to have a increased percentage of calves going to be born.
Right, right.
You know, the other aspect to this is I don't think a lot of producers realize what their calving distribution is.
Yeah, if you don't measure it, you don't know.
And so that's one thing I've always recommended because when you know, a producer calls and they have issues with preg rates or whatever, I ask them, what's your calving distribution and what's that percentage? And a lot of times they don't know.
Right.
Yep. And that's, I think, you know, that's one of the great tools is document that year in, year out is what is my calving distribution and the percent of cows, you know, falling within those different, you know, 21-day blocks of their calving season.
Yep. Well, and just kind of getting on that, and I'll talk about one of the things that we looked at here at the station a number of years ago, and we've incorporated it into our annual breeding program now, especially for our heifers. We also use it with cows sometimes, but many of your listeners may know Ron Terrell. He was an old, still is, an awesome individual down in Nevada that has done a lot of AI. He was extension with University of Nevada, Reno for a number of years, good friend of mine. And Tom Geary out of Mile City, Montana. We put together a project a number of years ago doing a combination of natural service and AI with synchronization. And we've incorporated that. And what we've seen is, you know, and the other thing sometimes you hear about AI, people will say they're getting 70, 80, 90% with AI. I don't want to call them a liar, but I question it a lot of times because normally, if you get 80% synchronization and you get 70% conception rate, you're looking at about a 50% or 60% pregnancy rate to AI. And that's usually pretty good, accepted. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's about what we would get. We would get between 50 and 60%. Well, I wanted to increase that number. Tom Geary wanted to increase that number. Ron Terrell wanted to increase that number. So what we ended up doing, and I'll just say, okay, we use a co-sync. We used a 7-day co-sync for most of our breeding on our heifers. What we would do for the people familiar with that protocol is when you pull the cedar and give the prostaglandin shot, we turn the bulls in immediately. Okay. I don't care if it's an AI calf as much. Right. That may be heresy to some people, but I want my calf, my heifers pregnant early. So we turn the bulls in on when we pull the cedar and give the prostaglandin shot, wait till 12 hours before timed AI, and then we pull those bulls back because we have them. So therefore, I've got some cows that came in early, or heifers, I should say, that came in early. We're catching them. We're waiting the 12 hours so that we're going to get those that are in heat during that period of time. We can get them covered with AI. We wait 12 hours after we've given the time to AI, and then we turn the bulls in again. And what we're finding, or what we did find, I should say, was that we were getting about 10, maybe a little more than 10% on the front end and the back end of that window. And then we were getting the 50% in the middle. We were getting 70%+ of our heifers pregnant in that first cycle by using the combination of natural service and AI versus getting 50% due to that AI. Those extra, you know, 20 heifers getting pregnant per 100 is a big deal. And for us, what we see almost every year by using this system is by the due date, and we, with our heifers, we're using calving these bulls, which usually have a shorter gestation period. So take that into account here. But we're usually over 50 to 60% of our heifers have calved before the due date. I mean, and then, you know, we're getting in that 70 plus percent in that first cycle, and just a few in the second and almost none in the third. So that's an example of how we can use some of this technology and some of the information that's out there to tighten that calving distribution in a way. I'm not so much worried about, well, I want the AI calf. And granted, I might have wasted a little semen because we threw some semen in those heifers. That's honest to God truth. If I used Kmar heat mount detectors or Estratec patches or something like that, you know, I could probably avoid some of that on the early end. You know, I could kick out those and not AI them. But we haven't done that yet. We do it just as part of the business. But those are all things that we can do as a combination. And then, you know, with natural service, you can also do the one-shot prostaglandin with natural service or synchronize. But most of the time when people are worried about this technology, it's, I don't want to run them 3 or 4 or 5 times through the chute.
Yep.
You know, and with the one shot prostaglandin with your cows, and we have a number of producers that have just loved it here. And Jack Whittier, some people may remember Jack. Jack did a lot of that early work looking at the one shot prostaglandin. If you give, well, you turn the bulls out with your cows, wait 5 days, give a prostaglandin shot, they're not gonna, that's not gonna hurt those that get bred in those 5 days because of where they're at in the estrous cycle. You're going to get a lot of your cows bred in a 10 to 15 day period. And that's going to help tighten that window. Those are all tools that I think producers can use, should be using, to tighten that calving distribution.
Yeah. And that's the benefit of estrous synchronization, even with natural service, is that, you know, talking about your heifers is that a tremendous way of setting up your heifers for the future. Is if you get that high percentage get bred that early, you think about the time frame, and you mentioned this early, is that 83 days post calving and needs to be pregnant to maintain that calving interval. And that's even more critical for that young cow.
Absolutely. And that's why a lot of people will breed them about a month, 2 weeks to a month earlier. Give them that time.
Yep. And we know from previous data is earlier they get bred, that helps increase longevity.
And I do need to, without thinking, I mean, I don't want to set somebody up to fail if they're listening to this and go, oh, I'm going to use natural service, do the one shot. If you do that, you've got a tremendous number of animals that are going to be coming in heat in a short period of time. You do need to increase your bull battery.
Yep.
You know, with AI, you can decrease your bull battery because, you know, if you're using it right. But if you're using that one shot with natural service, some of the data shows you probably need to almost double your bull battery because of that short period of time when they're all going to be coming in heat. So, you know, you could work with somebody, you know, either a friend's colleague, if you trust them with their bulls and the health, but, or you purchase them, but it does require to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
An increase in bull power. Otherwise you're not going to be able, those bulls won't be able to cover all those cows. And that's the terrain dependent too.
It is. And it's even more so if you used a cedar in that protocol versus just a prostaglandin shot. And we've had challenges in drought years of the one shot is less effective when there's nutritional challenges.
Absolutely.
And so that's why it's not a silver bullet, and it's a very effective if the nutrition is there.
Absolutely. And that's a really good point, Travis. And I guess that brings up another thing that we've done too, is if you've got, let's say you've had a bad nutrition in the prior year and the calving distribution was extended. If you collected the data and you know which of those cows were late calvers, usually that by the time you're wanting to breed, they've still got those little calves on their side. So you know where they're at. You can use that cedar, because that cedar, that progesterone is going to help you. You could be strategic and use those cedars in those late calving cows to help jumpstart them to cycle. And even if you don't catch them in that first cycle,
correct,
at least my experience is you're going to catch them in the second for sure, or the, you know, no later than that third, because that's going to just get their hormone cascades going. They're going to be able to respond to the stimuli and hopefully get pregnant. The prostaglandin doesn't work that way. The progesterone does. So, but then that's added cost. That's time through the chute, and there's some work, and that's stuff that can be looked at. But there are tools available with almost any situation that you can work on to help tighten that window. Because if the cow's opening, you're selling her, you know, that is income, but you're also having to replace that cow.
And another management that I've liked to recommend, and it's worked for some, it may not work for all, is turning out a terminal bull at the end of your breeding season, at the last part of your breeding season, right? And think about having those light calves, and that's a good fit for a terminal bull to help with the offspring the next year of, I don't have that light calf issue.
Right. And because, you know, the hybrid vigor, usually your terminal sire, not every time, but for the most times, is going to bring you a little more hybrid vigor than your maternal sires that you're maybe using if you're retaining ownership. Like if you had a black baldy herd, for instance, and like you're saying, you throw a Charolais, or you throw a Simmental, or you throw something like that onto those cows, and the genetics are there, your hybrid vigor is going to increase your performance on those calves. Absolutely. Now, granted, sometimes your color, depending on the situation, may affect your marketing of you're there, but your weight is going to be there.
Your weight's going to be there. It doesn't fix the distribution issue. It just helps with the weight issue.
Right.
Well, Dave, to wrap us up, did we miss anything? Anything we want to touch on?
I don't think so. I think we covered quite a bit of it. I hope I didn't make it sound too easy, but I don't want to make it sound overwhelming either. It's not that difficult to tighten your window up with just a little bit of extra management and thought. So I think we covered pretty much what I think we should have covered for the tightening that calving distribution.
It's time for our famous three.
Is stress affecting your bottom line? Even routine handling, inclement weather, weaning, and dietary changes can significantly lower the rumen pH, causing cortisol levels to spike. Cortisol not only compromises the immune system, but also suppresses normal appetite and feed consumption. The solution? Cattle Active. Increase production and reduce the impacts of stress on your cattle for cents a day. Cattle Active restores the balance naturally. Want to learn more how a feeding program, including Cattle Active, can improve both profits and herd health? Visit us today at proearthanimalhealth.com. Be proactive with Cattle Active.
All right. Well, to wrap us up, I've got three questions here. So the first one is, you know, what is your highly recommended beef book, resource, website that you recommend a producer utilizing?
It's a little academic, but there's a lot of really good information there if you sign up. And that's the Livestock Marketing Information Center out of Denver. That is a website, LMIC, Livestock Marketing Information Center, that has a lot of good information that I send out to producers, that I share with other extension folks. It's really good. And then there's also a few of the more business oriented, like AgWest out here in the Pacific Northwest has a really good website that helps with a lot of management, weather, as well as economics in that. And then there's, just for this specific region, it's got some Montana, Idaho, and Eastern Oregon. There's the NOAA has a threat assessment website for newborns, and I like watching that, especially during calving season, because it can help plan out in advance. It's got a 12, 24, you know, 48, 72 hour type window to help you plan. So that's really only important about 3 or 4 months of the year on this end. But those are probably the three that I use.
So what's a non-beef book that you highly recommend someone reading?
Without sounding like I'm on a soapbox too much, there's a book that has really hit home with me in the last year or so because of some challenges that I've had some colleagues and friends go through. And it's called The Anxious Generation. And it relates to today's youth and how technology, smartphones, those kind of things are affecting the mental health of our youth, and not necessarily, not at all in a good way. I think it's something that a lot of parents and a lot of teachers should read if they're not haven't done it yet. It's called The Anxious Generation. Jonathan Haidt, I think, is the guy's name that wrote it. And it was really eye-opening to me. I kind of thought some things, but it's a really good book.
I think that's a great resource. And we struggle from academia from that standpoint of with thinking how we went through that age group, and it's not the same.
No, not even close.
Lastly, what sets apart a successful beef professional from someone that isn't?
For me, it's the ability to listen and pull the information that you're hearing together in a way that benefits that producer rather than telling them what you want to tell them. And we as academics a lot of times get lost in, I know what the problem is, and this is what you need to do to fix it. Versus that may be true. It may be true, but the ability to get that respect and develop those relationships is dependent on our ability to listen, understand the situation, and then tailor our response in a way that addresses them and respects their operation, their objectives, and their roles.
Now, I think that's critical from extension is shut up and listen. And so, you know, I've been in a lot of extension meetings that anyone in extension in a focus group needs to shut up and not say a word and let the producers discuss their issues. And so you get so much out of just listening.
Absolutely.
Well, Dave, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. I think a lot of great resources for producers to think about tightening the calving interval. That's a big challenge we have here in the western side of the states. And a lot of useful information.
Sure. No, I appreciate it, Travis, and it's always fun.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.